Hello.
Hi, Emmy. How are you doing?
I'm more than a wonderful. Yeah, we're getting everything all set up. Start at 2. Let me get the thing on. All right, we want to deal with a dog or what?
Yeah. Raj, silencio. He is very conscious of private property, so whoever passes in front of the door, he reacts accordingly.
Hold on, bring in my computer. Was he going to bark the whole time?
No, I think he'll stop soon, yeah. We are in a building where there are more apartments, and so once in a while someone is passing in front of the door, and so on. Raj, basta.
Shh.
I hope I convinced him.
Yeah, it seems like it. Okay, where's on this computer? Yeah, we're doing a bunch of... We did probably 10,000 DVDs.
That wow. Have,
you know, 3 DVDs. And the main thing is... yeah, I already got the stream started. The main thing is that we, you know, we're focusing on vaccines... And their mandates, all that crap, and the Second Amendment. So there's a restriction. They're really making a big deal out of banning and demonetizing and censoring and stripping anything on vaccines on YouTube and Google and all that stuff. So it's a battle against the First Amendment. So, of course, we got to have the Second Amendment, too. So we got these videos on First and Second Amendment, you know, one, whatever. So we just went down to the legislature, starts today. And so we were down there early this morning, you know, putting them all in the mailboxes of the legislators and passing them out and parking lots and all that stuff, be buttheads. So I'm just, we're finishing up. We spent activists in 30 states are distributing all these, too, to their legislatures. So we've been working on that, being a butthead. Now, the... what I wanted to do is get caught up on what's going on in Europe and Brexit and the immigrant thing and ECB and Fed here and stock market and Trump and war, Middle East. What do you want to go on?
Okay. Yeah, we have lots of topics we can discuss. Yeah. Vaccines is a big thing in Europe, too, especially in Italy. We had a recent law about compulsory vaccines. Nowadays we have 12 compulsory vaccines here, and there's a big protest movement against it.
I just saw a video I'm gonna put up later. Somebody sent it to me that you can't find it on the internet anymore, and it is a United Nations briefing of all these different organizations. Doctors are going, yeah, we got a problem with these vaccines. And, of course, you never hear that about anything from anywhere else, you know, so I'm going to put it up and be a butthead about it. There is so much stuff. And, then, of course, Mark's on my ass. Oh, you go being vaccine crazy crap, Ernie. You need to do what I tell you to do, you know. So I'm like, whatever. did you hear his thing, his interview in Hawaii?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a link, a Dropbox link to a radio show in Hawaii where he says, yeah, he's probably going to run for U.S. Senate in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
I knew it. He's whatever. Okay. You ready?
Yeah, ready. Whenever you want.
All right. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
your independence. I'm here in the Stancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedom's Without Freedom's Phoenix.com. Alexandro Fusillo from Italia. He's on. He's going to explain it to us. He's an attorney in Italy, Germany, and Spain, where he has offices in all three countries, and is fluent in five languages. Due to the socialist indoctrination of European schools and universities, he joined Austrian economics and libertarian philosophy only in his mature years as an attorney specialized in commercial and tax law, so they can keep their money. He often represents clients against the state and banksters, faithful to the Jeffersonian principle that when law becomes injustice, resistance becomes a duty. He always strives to undermine as much as possible the multiple laws whose only aim is to encroach the freedom of his clients and himself and his friends and his family. You know? So he's one of the good guys. Say hello, Alessandro.
Hello, Ernest. It's a pleasure to be here again on Declare Your Independence show.
Okay, now this is one thing that, you know, we've talked about a lot of things, but a lot of things that we talk about, we need to get an update on. Now, here we have migration. We got the economy. The European Central Bank and the Fed and the petrodollar and whatever and heck's going on with that. We have Brexit. We got to have a whole bunch of other, you know, exits, you know, from different places. And let's talk about that first. They're really wanting to drag out this Brexit thing. And are they ever going to get out or what?
Well, I think finally they will get out. Johnson has to get out to save face. He couldn't do anything different. I think that at the end of the day, they will negotiate something which is suitable for the EU establishment and for the UK establishment as well. Probably the UK will be transformed into something like Norway or Switzerland. It's not really part of the EU, but it's still part because much of the legislation and of the rules coming from Brussels will be upheld. This is my forecast. But they will go out. They have to deliver something to the voters. Otherwise, they will face big problems.
Who? Italy?
No, UK. UK.
Okay, so UK is going. Now, what about the other countries? Are they starting to get in line?
I think they won't be going. My opinion is, as strange as it may seem, the likeliest to go away from the European Union and collapse the whole building is Germany, because at the end of the day, the Germans are the ones paying, are the ones who are putting up the most money. And so if someone is going to collapse the whole building, it will be Germany. The Italian politicians haven't got the clout and the authority to go away from the European Union. And plus, what we have as Italian politicians now, left wing, right wing, and center, they are all complete ignoramuses in economic matters. So they aren't capable of designing anything which could be an alternative to the euro.
Okay, let's talk about that a second. Here in America, you have, California, especially San Francisco, some of the cities are just finally. I got, you know, a story up here in Freedom's Phoenix of the Los Angeles mayor asking Trump for homeless help. I mean, you know, I'm going, wow. All right. So we have California spiraling down because I don't know why. It's like it's intentional. We want to get everybody in a government housing block of something. They're going to do the projects again like they did in the 60s, 70s. You know, we haven't. Something, and it seems like it's intentional. They want it to spiral. They want it to be bad. We got to, from the chaos, build something. Is that your impression, or they just don't have the education? They don't understand. I want what I want, and they're just banging the table, or what?
Sometimes I think, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but sometimes I think that there's someone or a bunch of people who are interested in stirring up chaos and making things worse and worse. This is the impression you get in Europe, because there's no economic growth, especially in the former BRICS countries and Southern Europe. Even Germany, it's a fake growth. Now, the last news were that Industrial production is at its lowest since 1996 in Germany, so it's a huge thing. And yes, probably there is someone who has the intention to make things worse and worse for the ordinary people. And what's the agenda behind this? I don't know.
So they can get control, I guarantee that. I don't know how they think this is a mechanism, but I was just watching. We have it up on Freedom's Phoenix today. There's one of the top stories. Yeah, let's see if I got it up here. I'll pull it up for people to see. It is a woman, because I've been asking this question to my audience. I keep going, at what point, when did it happen that we have, here, guys can see this, how the UN's Agenda 21 influences every aspect of society? Because I kept asking this one question. When did it happen? Who were the lobbyists? Who was the politician that went to the American people and said, you know, this freedom thing, you know, and your castle, your home is your castle, and you rule and you own your own property and all that kind of stuff. Nah, we're going to make sure you have to have an occupancy permit from the crown in order to live on your own land. Now, you can occupy the sidewalk in front of City Hall, and the business owners around got to pay to, you know, flush off your crap off the sidewalk into the gutter and pick up your hypodermics. But if you took that same tent and you put it on your own property that you own, you go to jail without an occupancy permit. And I'm going, when did that happen? You know, what was, so one of the listeners just this weekend sent me, said, you need to watch this. And it's this up here, I'm showing up on the screen. And I'm going, wow, it you knew it was, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I mean, somebody is, you know, coming together. So I'm wondering, in Italy, was there ever, certainly that was the heritage here in America, is that you have a, you know, in America, I buy land and then I can like build a house and I live on it. And they go, not without a permission slip. And I'm going, yeah, but I'm out in the middle of the desert. I'm in the county. I'm not in a municipal corporation. I'm not in a homeowner. So I'm out in the freaking desert. You got to have a permission slip from the crown. Now, remember, you gave a presentation in Mexico on the new constitution after World War II in Italy. And I'm wondering, was there ever a time in Italy's history or heritage that when you bought land, it was yours without question? You didn't have permission slips.
Yes. There was such a time, and in European continental law, we had a similar principle like in the common law, and it is in fact an ancient Roman principle that property extends from the center of the earth to the stars in the sky. This was the ancient principle, so you could do pretty much whatever you wanted with your property, and so long as these laws were in place, Italy was one of the most beautiful countries as far as architecture is concerned, and we have wonderful buildings and churches and whatever. In fact, the idea that you need a permission slip to build something on your own property is an idea of the fascists. Our first zoning plan is the 1936 zoning plan of the city of Rome. And a few years after that, in 1942, the first law about zoning and planning came in force. So it's an idea of Mussolini. And since then, it became worse and worse and worse. And now it's like you say, if you want to build something, okay, we don't have deserts and empty strips of land. But anyway, you need a permission slip, which didn't prevent Italians from building places in without permission slips, of course, and in dangerous places near to volcanoes and dangerous rivers and so on. So this shows that the laws aren't useful to anything.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, not that we're a conspiracy or anything, but I'm wondering if this was a of the times. Because every time I track any of this back, it goes back to building codes, which was adopted from the United Nations. And I'm going, wow, when the hell did that? There's a plan. There's something to, you know, get in between the individual and the land. That it's like, nope, because if you have your own land and you're able to produce your own food and your family lives there and you're free and clear of bite me, oh, they don't like that. No, you're not allowed to be left alone or be autonomous or be self-sufficient. You have to be dependent and with a permission slip. This is some common denominating factor that I'm starting to witness. Is that something that you saw running through your experience as a lawyer and such?
Yeah, by all means. The idea is is the idea to shape the land. So up to, let's say, more or less 100 years ago, some countries more, some countries less, the idea was that how to shape the land, how to build roads, cities, and so on, was more or less a freedom of the citizens and of the owners. So as long as you owned a piece of land, you could do with this piece of land whatever you wanted. Then slowly the idea came that the people are too stupid or can't decide what to do with their own property.
They're not doing it right.
Yeah. Plus in Europe, you have the especially in Italy, but also in other countries, you have the idea that the state must preserve and defend the cultural heritage and the ancient buildings and so on. And so with the excuse of preserving archaeological and landscape beauties, we have nowadays a system where you are basically, you have no freedom. If you buy a strip of land, that's it. You can maybe you can plant some potatoes and onions on that, but that's not granted anymore too, because also agriculture is very much regulated. So you depend basically on all sorts of permissions, and the space of freedom is getting smaller and smaller.
You know what's interesting to me is that they want to protect the culture, and we need to do that through the land usage. But and here's a few million foreign immigrants to deal with that culture. You know, I'm well, which is it? You know, I'm you know, so give me the immigrant situation there in Italy.
The immigrant situation becomes worse and worse by the day, because with the change in government we had this summer, the old system started again. So we have floods of immigrants coming in. We have these ONGs which more or less rescue, in quotation marks, the immigrants from the sea, which means from the shores of Libya, and shuttle them to Italy. The Interior Ministry just passes through everything, because there's no check anymore, and so anyone has the right to come in and to plead his status as refugee, as asylum seeker, and that's it. So we started again with the same system as before.
You know, we had a story up on today. Thank you. We had a story up today that said a lot of people from Germany are moving to Hungary for lifestyle improvement because of the immigrants.
Yes. It, by all means, it's people are getting fed up with countries like Italy, Germany, the UK, France, and they are looking to Eastern Europe as a part of the world where some I wouldn't say some principles, but some
resistance
way of life is still preserved. Yes.
Well, why Hungary? Is it because they hate Soros too, or something? I mean, you know, they got a warrant out for him. But I'm wondering. It seemed like that those two issues, Soros and immigration, were kind of linked in their opposition to Soros.
Yes, Soros is of course a big financer of everything that is linked with immigration. Soros is pursuing his own agenda of trying to get as much as possible people from Africa into Europe, and it's not a secret. He pays all these ONGs, and he pays for their overhead expenses, their boats, and so on. And so this is a quite open policy he pursues.
To what end? So, I don't understand why, though. It's we got to do this because what?
Well, as you know, you have different lines of reasoning. So you have, let's start from the official reasoning. The official version is we need immigrants because populations in Europe are aging. And if we don't replace the indigenous population with people coming in from Africa mainly, sooner or later we will die out because people in Europe are too old. So we need people because they're bringing in fresh blood, so to say. Further, connected with this, there are some who say these people will be paying the pensions for the pensioners in a few years because when we have this surplus of aging and elderly people in Europe, who will be paying their pensions? Then we have, let's say, the left-wing moral stance, which says we need more diversity because European culture is something which is inherently bad, and we need diversity. We need people coming in from different countries, and we want a beautiful and colored multicultural society. This is, of course, this doesn't make sense at all, because what is really happening in most countries, especially in countries like Italy and Germany, is skilled workers are going away because they have no economic perspectives here. You cannot start a business, you cannot start a profession. So the best people are going away. And instead of the best people, we are getting unskilled workers from Africa who are analphabets or something like that. So, and this is, the figures are close because we have around 250,000 people emigrating and more or less 200,000 immigrants every year. So every year we have skilled workers going out and unskilled workers coming in. And in the long run, this will destroy the population of the European countries. What's behind? I think one of the most likely explanations is left-wing parties are looking for a new constituency, new voters. They are getting less and less votes in Italy and in other countries. They are in a big crisis, the left-wing parties, and so they are looking for someone who will be likely voting them, and they hope to get the votes from the immigrants, which is...
So they're going to have these people be have voting opportunity. You come in, yeah, and you get the vote.
Yeah, yeah. You get. That's why, connected with immigration, we have a big movement to change citizenship laws and to import something like the American laws, so whoever is born on Italian soil is directly an Italian citizen or something like that. If you stay in Italy for a certain time,
you... So you don't have citizenship in Italy if you're born there?
No, you don't. No. The principle in Italy and in most European countries is that you inherit your citizenship from your parents. So if one of the parents is Italian, you get the Italian citizenship. If not, you have to stay here a certain amount of time and pass certain tests regarding language and culture and so on, and then you get... It's a very long and wearisome process. It's not easy to get.
Here in America, man, you're born here, you win, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of immigrants will come here, you know, Mexican, Hispanic, Chinese, you know, will come have their children here so they get U.S. citizenship. And there is a... that was another thing. Here in America, the birth rate has plummeted. And you know, all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, we in trouble now. We like Japan, man. We need to make some babies. Well, then we find out that if you took the Gardasil vaccine, the women at 26, you know, one study goes only 35% of women 26 have been pregnant if they took the Gardasil vaccine. And if the if they have not taken it, they're up to 65% that have been pregnant by 26. And I'm going, wow, that's something to take a look at. You know, the vaccine issue is a big deal here in America, and we're going to be doing, I'll tell you what Donna and I, you know, a little project here is in a little bit, but this vaccine issue, how's that taken in Europe? Are they, you know, people in opposition to it? Shut up, you had a lab coat and a stethoscope and he tells you to take a shot. Or are they against it, for it? What's going on in Europe?
In Europe, there's a big anti-vaccine movement. States in many countries, the governments are trying to push through vaccine laws. We had it in Italy most recently, a few years ago. The government passed a new law making it compulsory to take 12 vaccines. I think Italy has one of the biggest vaccine programs in the world. And basically, they forbid kids to go to school if they don't have the 12 compulsory vaccines.
And when did that start?
It started with the last, not the last, the government before. So it was 2016, 2017.
So just a few years ago, this has started in, man, desperation for... I'm feeling it, man.
Yeah, and you see, we have a big propaganda machine behind the vaccine issues, because whoever tries to voice some critical opinion about vaccines is immediately shut down as someone who is diffusing fake news or who is unscientific or anti-scientific. It's impossible to say anything against vaccines, and statistics are faked, and plus every time there is some case of illness due to some illnesses which are in the vaccine programs, the publicity is enormous. When I have a case of
measles or mumps, meningitis, and they're all going to die, yeah. And you got to have. Yeah. And now they want to, here in the U.S. they're going to mandate Ebola vaccine. Man, I'm feeling all kinds of wonderful about that one. So I just, this is, so I need to understand from your perspective going into 2020 and the future elections and issues and so on. Is the vaccine mandated vaccine? Is that, you know, one of the top five issues, top 10, the top? I mean, what do you think in Europe?
No, I think, unfortunately, it won't be, because propaganda was very strong, and the real information drowns in the huge mass of other information you get. There are still parents trying to resist and trying to... protest against the law or homeschool their children, but it is very difficult here. It's forbidden to homeschool, and it's forbidden to. A few days ago, a school was shut down where they accepted kids which were not vaccinated, and they shut it down with the police. So there's a strong movement from the government behind the whole thing.
Wow. All right, let me tell you what Don and I are doing. You probably don't know. We just decided this, and it all came together, and we had financial support for it, and here we go. I am of the opinion that the petrodollar and stuff is going to go any freaking day. And so I'm like, I can't get out fast enough and kind of start saving money, insulate. Year or two from now, land will get cheap again like it did in 11 year, and there's a lot of places that I want to buy land. I wish to build a home, but they're going to say, well, I'm sorry, did you get your occupancy permit? You get your permission slip? So I'm going to be challenging this and highlighting that on my way to building something. And I'm like, this is just not America. I don't know how Europeans look at this, but in America, it was peace be upon thee and take your Conestoga wagon out there. And, you know, we stole it from the Native Americans for you, so you ought to be able to do it. I mean, you know, kind of whatever. It's craziness. So I am want to highlight these things. There's something going on. There's two issues. One is the vaccine issue. I own my body. I sure as heck the crown doesn't own my children. They're going to try and convince you they do. But I'm going, no, this is wrong. So especially when it's causing problems. Then, of course, well, am I allowed to occupy my own land? So it's both property rights to me. I own myself and I own my property. no. And I go, well, then don't tell me we're a free country. Don't be going on about how we're for, by, and of the people and Constitution and Bill of Rights and Declaration and all that crap. You know, you guys are just liars, all right? So I just want to make sure, I just want them to say it, make them say it, all right? So this is what we did. I think we need to take a break, accumulate money, get back to the people, do another Levolution. Now, when we did the Levolution around the Ron Paul thing back in 07, 08, I knew that it was coming in this upwelling of people, leave me aloneism. So we're going to hit the road beginning of May. We have already bought the bus. We have a big MCI bus that's converted and it's gotten, it's great and super duper and all the goodies and built in and the oak of everything. So we're taking that, we're wrapping it in a freedom-oriented here we come thing, and we're going the beginning of May for a year. Donna and I are taking the show and Freedom's Phoenix on the road going around the country. Now, we already are booked up for freaking ever, so we'll be going around pushing primarily on vaccine issues, this mandate that we pumped it. I'm going, there is something, this is Nuremberg trial stuff. Informed consent. Where is my, one, I'm not allowed to be informed, you're censoring everything, and don't you need my consent? No, we're going to make you do it. And I'm going, wow, this never goes well. So we're hitting the road for a year. Now, some people would criticize me and you're being crazy Ernie again, but what if I know what's coming? So I am very confident that the people are going to start getting more and more educated on this, and there is going to be blowback big time. So we're trying to keep it peaceful, make sure that it goes in the right direction. Vaccinate, don't vaccinate, I don't give a crap. The thing is that if you're free, you don't have to. Well, what do you think they're going to say?
You have to. I think you will. You will have big, big problems. As far as see from here, it's a thing that you cannot touch, vaccines.
Yeah, it's like the third rail Israel.
Yeah. No, it's but it's a very important issue because as far as I'm concerned, I don't know the science, and I don't even care about the science. Maybe it's good to be vaccinated, maybe not. I think not all vaccines are the same, and there are some silly vaccines and some which maybe are good, and you should take them. But the problem is, who owns your kids? The government or you own your kids? Because from vaccines to saying, I can decide whatever I want about education, I can take your kids and make them participate compulsory in some government program like in Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia. It's just a matter of
or fascist Italy.
Oh, fascist Italy, yeah, of course. In fact, Mussolini was one of the inventors of the whole system.
Yeah, no, I'm not, this is nothing. Not, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of his famous lines is, "Everything in the state, nothing outside of the state, nothing against the state." And this was the central tenet of the fascist doctrine. And the problem is, we have it here in Italy. They are telling us that we have a constitution, that we are free. This is all bullshit. We have the fascists exactly as we had them 80 years ago. No difference from that.
You know, this, what do you think the pendulum is? You know, I remember, I think I might have told you before, Paul Rosenberg years ago, I had him on, he's on regular, and I go, or something was going on, I'm going, wow, man, what tyranny. I go, do you think we're at peak tyranny? I mean, when does this stop? At some point, there's like a tipping point or blowback or something. He goes, no, you're never at peak tyranny, but I think we're at peak obedience. And I go, that's good. That's good. That's good. Do you think we're getting there? Are we getting peak obedience a little bit, maybe?
We are getting there. They are close to the realization of the tyrant's dream to have slaves, happy slaves who don't know that they are slaves. This is the problem.
Yeah.
I think, I'm sure in a few hundred years, when people will look back to this historical period, this will be the period of totalitarianism. We had a first part of the century, of the last century, where we had the crazy totalitarians, Hitler and Stalin and the secret police and so on. Then after World War II, they understood that it's much easier to introduce a soft totalitarian state, and this is what we have. It's not like Big Brother in 1984. It's like Brave New World, and this is the world we're living in. We are slaves, and most people don't know that they are slaves, and they will fight you if you tell them the truth and show them that they are slaves. This is my daily experience.
Was a good example of it. I was down at the Arizona State Capitol building. The second Monday in January is the beginning of the legislative session for a lot of states. And they have the State of the State address. They're probably doing it right now. And every year I go down there, and we've had a bunch of laws to, you know, make them check our guns and all this other stuff. So I always go down with my firearm. I walk in, I make them check it, you know, just out of principle. Then I take in my stuff. I go to the Senate. I go to the Senate mail room and the House mail room, and I got stuff for them or DVDs that we did. Then we go to the press offices and everything. Well, I mean, we pass out what we gave to them, and then by, you know, an hour and a half later, I'm done. You know, take some videos, Ernie was here, damn it, okay? I go and I come talk to Alessandro. Well, then while I'm down there, the people that are there, you know, in there, they're all wearing the same color shirt or in little groups around and they're lobbying for something. Unions, teachers, and then some issue like moms against guns or something, okay? So I'm going, all right. So, of course, they got Second Amendment is for everyone DVDs that we got to do. But the, it's who's down there? The freedom guys, more freedom, freedom. Maybe not so much. You know, anybody that wants to use government wants to use it to do something for them. They want to take from somebody and redistribute. There's, you know, rarely do you have people up there screaming for leave me alone. But I tell you when that happens, every year they threaten to mandate the wearing of helmets on motorcycles in Arizona. You got 50 gazillion Harleys circling, bloom, 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 bloom. Don't make me. Because what happens is, of course, the federal government, with insurance lobby and so on, they want to have a mandate. You have to have seatbelts, you have to have helmets. If you don't, you lose some money or whatever. But they're going to lose their job if they mandate helmets in their freaking zone IA, because there's a bunch of guys, I'm free and I want to crack my head open and ain't nothing you can do about it. So it's stuff like that, and God forbid you threaten to take away Arizona's guns, and man, the people, they are out in, you know, in the droves. Well, you know, here was somebody, you know, they're just a little group of, you know, a dozen people wearing red shirts of mom against guns or whatever. But it's periodic that we will see the freedom guys come out, and usually that's at the ballot box. That's where they start running candidates. That's where libertarian candidates start popping up everywhere, go up against these guys. This year here in Arizona, they're, you know, the one thing that they're really pushing, though, because Big Pharma is everywhere, is mandatory vaccinations. And the people are coming out on that one. That is going to be, and I don't think people realize around the world what a big pushback that is. The blowback are millions of dead and damaged children that have parents, grandparents, aunt, uncles, friends, brothers, sisters. This is not going to go well for Big Pharma. What kind of time frame do you think that big pushback is going to come? Now, never, 2 years, five, already happened? What do you think?
Hard to say. I couldn't make a forecast about when. Sooner or later, it's bound to come. I agree with you. It depends on how they manage to keep people happy and giving them something and pushing them slowly into more and more slavery. But I don't know. I can't make a
forecast. Well, you know, give them some freaking food when the economy takes a dump. How much time do you think we got on that?
that's coming soon too. Yeah, I agree.
Well, you know, let's look at France. France has, you know, the Yellow Jackets are still out there doing something. You know, people are still protesting for something. And a lot of it is they go, yeah, we spent all your money. The pensions are going. Retirement, we're going to have to raise retirement age, cut the pensions. Instead of having 15 gazillion unions, we're going to, like, have one union, you know? Because I didn't know you had government union ballet dancers. I'm like, what? You know, so China, France has really gone super duper, you know, collectivist, everybody works for the state kind of something, and they each got a union, which is like 40 something of them. So they're going broke on the pensions and all that money, everybody all in there, and it's ours now. Okay, so that's coming. So I'm wondering, in France and other countries, it's, I keep saying, and here in America, it's the pensions. It's the retirement of all the baby boomers. And since World War II, and this happened around the world, certainly Europe, that we have all these people, now they're wanting their pensions. Well, it's not there anymore. So what's going to happen? What do you think, Alessandro?
I think there will be big protests, like in France, because all pension funds in Europe and in the States, it's the same. They are more or less some enormous Ponzi schemes. That's all. And recently, it was discovered that a substantial part of the funds of the Italian pension trust—it's a public administration—they had been spent on something less, or something other, or some government expenses. They just took the money. It was the money of retirement severance payments for the public employees. And they just spent it on something different. And so if you are a public employee going in pension, you are entitled to a severance payment here in Italy, which is in fact a deferred payment for your job. And you can have a waiting time of 2 to 3 years to get it. What you are entitled to get as soon as you go out of your job.
Okay, wait. It says you get it. You're like, all right, you retired, and here's your money. And they go, it was here a minute ago. It's yours. You just can't have it yet. And we'll give it to you in a couple of years?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, yeah.
Wow. When it's not worth anything? The inflation just kicked the crap out of it? This is not good, man. This is not going to last.
I have more of a client who are in this situation. I have a good client and a friend. She went in pension 1 year ago, and she has still 1.5 to wait to get the severance payment and also the pension. She got the pension 6 months after she stopped working. So you have these 6 months where you don't get anything. Then they will pay you back what they owe you, but it's if you don't have your savings, it can be a really big problem.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And this is only the beginning. It's getting worse and worse.
Of course. So. How fast? What do you think is going to happen? This has just started. I'd say probably the last 3 years. It's been about 3 years. They haven't been, you know, hiding it anymore. They're going, yeah, we're going to have to raise retirement age. We're going to have to reduce this. We're going to have to recalculate the yada yada. We're going to, you know, and it's gone. So now I'm looking at all the pensions are still in America are based on the value of the stock market. You know, it's like if the stock market takes a dump, your pensions take a dump. Well, they're at the highest ever, the high of the high now. I'm like, well, sell them out and buy silver or something. I mean, are you yourself, I don't know if you can advocate anything, but are you thinking precious metals or something? How you diversify?
Yes, precious metals, Bitcoin. I would be very, very careful with the stock market and with the treasury bonds, especially. Then we have another very funny thing. Most, if not all, public pension funds in Europe must buy public treasury funds, which in Europe are on negative interest rates. So they are losing money buying this stuff.
Wow. Okay, so by mandate, they have to have a certain percentage of their retirements going into treasuries, that is the debt to the government that they're paying negative interest rates on.
That's it, and not a certain amount, a huge amount, 40%, 60%.
How does this end well?
This will end very, very bad.
Well, how is it even going on? What is happening? Is Trump's tweets that powerful? I mean, seriously.
Yes, it's crazy. It's completely crazy. And they try to sweep it under the rug and not to talk about this. But sooner or later, the bomb will explode because it's not sustainable. It's a system which is due to go bankrupt. Sooner or later, in 5 years, 10 years, whatever.
So what are you advocating? What do you go, man, get foreign land, get out. See, that was another thing. It's like Peter Schiff, you always go, he comes on the show and he's like, get out of the dollar. gather U.S. dollar. You need to yada, 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 precious metals overseas. So I'm going, God, there's really not a lot of places to go. I mean, I can get out of the dollar, and I'm just too stupid, so I just buy more silver because I don't know any better, and I just know it's manipulated all to hell low. And when it goes up, I go, well, see, you told you it was going to go up. Well, you didn't say that much. Well, I didn't know how much. I don't know. I don't care. You know, I'm just not this. They're paying negative interest rates. What the hell? I'm not stupid, you know? So I'm – what amount are you talking about? Everything? All right, I'll give you a perfect example. One of my best friends, he retires, and he's got like a chunk. I mean, it's not $1 billion, but it's getting, you know, $400,000, $500,000. He's like, woohoo. I'm going, look, I tell you, my dad, when he retired, he didn't take into account, you know, like, you know, 10, 15% inflation. I don't give a crap what they called it. You know, the cost of living adjustment doesn't include housing, fuel, or food. So I go, what the hell do you think it means, you know? So I go, your inflation's going to kill you. You know, if you need to get out of the dollar, get out of your 401, get out of your IRAs, take the tax penalty, take the hit, whatever, and just get precious metals now before it jumps up because, oh my God, and I'm going to love saying, Neon, I freaking told you so.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm very, very convinced about precious metals too, especially gold, but silver too. And I mean physical gold and silver, and not some digital gold and gold certificates, but physical gold. And then another good thing usually is real estate abroad. If you buy some piece of real estate in a country which is not yours, usually they will leave you alone. There won't be very much happening. So it's in Europe, for example, it's like that. If I buy a piece of property in Italy, I will have our IRS asking questions, where did you get the money, and I will tax you and so on. If I buy something in Spain or in France, usually they leave you alone. So this is one of the things I would advocate. Then if you, whatever you put in the stock market, you must be able to lose it. So this is the thing. You must see stock market as a very speculative investment, and so you just can put a little amount of your...
Okay. You said very speculative. Put that on a range. What the hell does that mean?
Well, it means that you can lose everything.
So it's like roulette wheel? I mean, you know, what are you saying here?
You must be prepared
very
to say
speculative.
I go to zero. So maybe I can ride on the tail of the tiger and get something good because the stock market is still going up. But you must be prepared if you don't get your timing right that you just lose everything.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about you're there. You know, it's the Middle East is ramping up being a thing. Trump, you know, takes out a general, which kind of surprised me, with their Cuisinart blender missile, you know, whatever they did. And then come to find out there was another general or another guy that they were targeting at the same time that they missed and got, you know, guy in the next car or something. And I'm going, okay, war. What do you think? You know, does Europe want to participate in this? They're going to push the brinkmanship all the way with Iran, or they're going to back off, or they're ready to go to war with Iran? What do you think?
I think European countries are desperate to find an excuse to back off and leave America on this policy of confrontation in the Middle East. I say especially countries like Italy and Germany. Italians and Germans made big business with Iran, and they lost it all, as with Russia and so on. So Europe is trying any way it can find to go out of the American foreign policy, especially in the Middle East, and which is, by the way, a crazy policy. Now we are used to it, so it doesn't impress us any much, but. You have American presidents with a kill list of persons they want to kill and that they will kill without Congress vote or whatever.
Wow.
Imagine this happening in the 50s or 60s. It would have seemed
it did.
Completely crazy.
I mean, they weren't touting it or tweeting about it, but, you know, I mean, hell, you know, I could give you a whole long list.
Yeah, but they did it secretly. Now they do it openly. Yeah, I killed it, and it's okay. You know, we are all happy because he's dead like a dog, like Trump said about the other guy. Oh, my God.
All right. Here we have Turkey, part of NATO. Is Turkey European Union?
No. Turkey is not European Union.
Okay, so here we have
Turkey. They tried to get in, but they never were accepted. And so this is...
Well, now they're buddies with Putin, you know? So here we have all these immigrants that Turkey has taken in, these refugees, and they're going, look, Europe, you keep jerking with us. We're just going to open the floodgates, and you guys can deal with them, you know?
Yeah.
And then they go, well, don't do that. He goes, well, then how come you're making that I got to have them or something, and then you're not paying for it, kind of, the refugee? I'll just open the gates, and you guys deal with them. So what is Germany and France and Italy going, good, we want them, bring them on, what?
Well, Turkey is Erdogan has been very successful in blackmailing Europe, and he's doing it by the day, exactly like this. Whenever Europe says something that isn't to the tune of Turkey, he says, okay, then I release all these guys, they want to go to Germany and Sweden and so on. And look what happened in Libya. While the Europeans were discussing, especially the Italians, who should have done something way before, the Russians and the Turks stepped in. They are now in Libya, and it's their country, and they will do whatever they want with the Libyan oil, and this is just stupid and crazy policy. And I think in the long run, the Russians will be the winners in the Middle East, because the American policy doesn't go anywhere.
No, it's just being stupid. You know, this was, you know, when you go to war, you know, I saw a meme, and it was like, when you go to the war, they send our sons and daughters to war while they send their sons and daughters to Ukraine to get a job, okay? So you got Biden's and Pelosi, and their kids are getting these gazillion-dollar jobs with the regime in exchange for... And this is what this whole impeachment crap is all about. You know, they were just trying to distract from sooner or later, all this stuff is coming out. And I'm going, yep, so where's Trump on this thing? Well, he isn't any better as he's doing all this. You think he took on the Iran general to get pro-Israel and the Bolton types and the neocons on his side in the impeachment, or they were going to threaten the what? You think there were some, you know, deals going on there?
I think, yes, the Israelis were behind the thing. They had Soleimani on their kill list since a long time, and they wanted him dead because he was the mastermind behind some of the setbacks they suffered in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, and in Lebanon. And he worked together with Hezbollah and together with Assad in Syria. So he was a dead man walking, especially because the Israelis wanted him dead. Plus, Netanyahu needs some kind of success and to something to shield himself from the investigation going on. You know, allegedly he has embezzled
that bribe,
huge amount.
Embezzlement, money, his wife, yeah. Him, and he got indicted or something, didn't he?
No, he's still hanging on to his immunity because he's still the president, and so he's trying to drag on the thing in order to distract the general public from the problem and maybe strike some deal with the prosecutors. I don't know. He's in a big problem. He's too.
I know this damn internet's just messing up their crap. You know, people have this and they share it, and that's why you see all this censorship, you know, on the internet. You know, there's so many things that aren't allowed to even be discussed. It's not allowed to be there. It's not allowed to be shared. I just got an email over the weekend from a reader saying all of a sudden on their Cox, which is one of the ISPs here, net service providers in the West here, and they go, yeah, any of your links now, I can't forward on my Cox account. It just, you're banned. You're not allowed to forward it. And I go, woohoo, looks like we made it. Yay. I'm going, of course, you know, so I'm just looking for this, the new internet of, you know, you can't stop me. That's why we put our stuff on IPFS, Interplanetary File Sharing. It's there forever and always, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. So we'll talk about that another time. Well, I wanted to make sure I got the main stuff that I wanted to make sure I got going, but what are you doing? What's keeping you busy?
Right now, well, I'm still working for my clients, trying to save them from the craziness of the, especially the Italian government. Italian government is going towards a huge financial crisis. As soon as the interest rates rise a tiny little bit, Italy is bankrupt. And this will
rise from what? From negative? I mean, you know, what are you saying? Up to what? I remember in the early 90s that when I first started getting involved in politics and everything, Washington was freaking out because U.S. Treasuries, I think 30-year Treasury, had to go to 8.something% for people to lend us any money, and we didn't have, man, they were freaking out by that. Then later, you find in, you know, a decade later or more, all of a sudden, when Greece, Italy, anyone has to go to 6%, they were having a heart attack, man. This is not good. So they got to keep it low, 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 so that they can pay back their monthly service on the debt. You know, it goes up a little bit. Boom! Everything goes. And there's a whole nother reason why, when you got low interest rate, it makes all these subscription-based IPOs, these public offerings like you know, Verizon or phone companies or cable companies or Netflix and Amazon and all that kind of stuff, because the same amount of money you invest gives you more return in their subscription than the interest rates you would have on like treasuries or something. But when those interest rates go up a little bit, the value in all these subscription companies plummet in comparison. So I can see they raise the interest rates a little bit. All of a sudden you got interest, you know, on the rates that you got to pay, and they can't afford that. Plus then all these other companies that are getting investment based on their subscriptions, in comparison, they go down. So when the interest rates go up, it's a double whammy, and the crap implodes, and there's no way people still keep giving money to these debt instruments at negative interest rates. Because why, Alessandro?
Because they need it. It's like a drug addict who keeps on taking more and more drugs and destroying his life.
Basically, no, but who invests? I mean, who's giving them the money at here, let me buy 30-year treasury of U.S. because I want to have my money being charged to be there, and I trust the dollar to be there in 30 years. Somebody explain that to me.
Yeah, it's basically it's the banks. So it's, what we have in Europe is since the crisis in 2008, a little bit later than the Federal Reserve, but the ECB made a similar politics with the quantitative easing. So what they are saying, we will accept public treasury bonds, whatever it is, even Greek bonds, as collateral for lending money to the banks. So what the banks do is they buy public treasuries and they get ECB loans in return, and the collateral are the public treasury bonds. And this is basically what the banks are living on in these days. So they solve their ratio problems and their patrimony problem, but the whole system rests on the states being able not to pay too much interest. Because if the interests go up, let's take the example of Italy. If the interest rate comes up to 4%, Italy is bankrupt. So if Italy is bankrupt,
they can't make their interest payments or something, or
it can make the interest payments. Right. Back in 2011, when Berlusconi had to resign, we arrived around 5%, and with a 5% interest rate, Italy would go bankrupt in 1 year, more or less. So this is the scenario, and if this happens, the assets of the banks, which are treasury bonds, are worthless, because you will have different scenarios, haircuts and things like that, like in Greece. And so the banks are bankrupt. So the state is bankrupt and the banks are bankrupt. And so if the interest rates go up, it's the end for countries like Italy, Spain, Portugal, and...
Well, I mean, I think they're dead men walking. I mean, you look at even just a broad stroke on what's owed and what is coming out and what, they have to change everything. They got to go, all this stuff that we promised you were going to get and work for us and vote and kind of, and it's gone now. When that happens, I guess they feel lucky they don't have a Second Amendment in Europe. I mean, you know, the people are disarmed. So I don't know what the blowback is going to be. Here in America, of course, they want to get, and you know what? We're going to make you take these notions and potions from the crown and take away your guns. So I'm going, yeah, you know, so, but in Italy, In Europe, they got this anti-gun thing. I don't know. How's that going to work?
Well, it depends, because we have very strict anti-gun laws, but not in every country. For example, in Italy, there are lots of guns, but really lots of guns, partly illegal, partly around the law. For example, if you have a hunting permit, you can buy handguns, which is crazy because you don't kill a wild boar with a revolver, but you can buy it anyway. So there are lots of guns.
Yeah, they have pistol javelina pig hunting handgun season here.
Yeah.
Bo, okay, I gotta give you this stat. This is good, Alexander. There's the number of how many hunting licenses, just people that get a license to go hunting in America, okay? That millions of them is more than all the rest of the country's armies combined is just hunting licenses in America. And they're well, all snipers. Bring it on. That's what they're worried about. You know, it's like, really? Do you think? So there is not going to be so many. They have to get us to either stand down, be confused, or agree. And it's getting to the point where with education, we're not as confused. We sure as hell don't agree. And Americans don't always just sit down and take it unless they mess you up in the head and give you the right stuff in the air, water, and food and kind of turn you into a zombie or something, which could be part of the process too. Nothing surprises me anymore. So as the economy takes a hit, when it's coming, whenever it does, Europe is going to embrace it or reject it or be part of it in what way? What do you think is going to be the first ramifications of an economic collapse?
Well, I think an economic collapse in Europe will be the trigger for some kind of very serious unrest. Yes, we don't have so many guns as in the United States, but still there are guns, and even without guns, look at
what people in France. Yeah, no, it's not going to be a gun thing.
No, I know, but there will be big civil unrest because everything collapses. So taxes will be very high. Probably we'll have huge inflation, which is an alternative to taxation. The pensions are not worth anything anymore. And so whatever was promised to the people, they don't keep these promises. And so I think there will be a certain turning point at some time when the people will be so fed up that they say, okay, look, this is too much. We have to go.
And then what? How are they going to say that? They're going to, all right, this is it. We're going to vote for this guy or something. I mean, what are they, you know, Putin, that people go, oh, we're fed up. And Putin goes, and you're dead or in jail. So, I mean, you know, what do you think the European countries are going to do about dissent?
This is a very, very hard question because we don't have very nice historical precedents. If you look at what happened when we had these big problems, like with the crisis in 1929, what did the people do? They voted their Mussolinis and Hitlers and so on. So this is the risk that I see in Europe. People are fed up, and so the craziest dictator who promises them the wildest things will be the one who will be the winner. So it's a very dangerous game, which is the game that the deep state and the establishment are playing. And I don't know, it probably won't end well as usual. And if history is to teach us something, is that things get worse. That's the problem.
You know, what are you planning? You know, you're like, you got a pretty good beat on this. You travel the country, you come to Arizona and see how the culture is here and different things. You go back as you're going back from your one trip here. All of a sudden, all the AK-47s show up in Paris and start killing people. And you go, I don't think that would have happened in Arizona. so this is the Second Amendment, just gun rights in Europe. Is that a thing? Is anybody advocating for that?
Well, there are some voices, not much, because Europeans are always very sensitive about guns, which is just crazy because, for example, we have lots of violence with knives, which is exactly the same. If you're killed by a knife or with a pistol, it doesn't make any difference. And since we are not allowed to buy guns, then there are lots of people who just use knives and these kind of weapons. So there is violence, and anti-gun laws won't solve anything. There are some people who are saying, yes, I want to defend myself. Even famous people, for example, we have a very popular radio show here in Italy, and the conductor is a very, very convinced pro-gun activist. But still, the general attitude is no guns. This is deeply embedded in European mentality.
And why do you think? What brought that on? Why?
Well, funnily enough, it came from the totalitarian governments. One of the strictest, most strict and severe anti-gun laws was the Nazi gun law. The first thing the Nazis did, they took all the guns from the German citizens because they knew what they wanted to do, and so they thought it would be better without armed citizens. Before, it was very easy to buy a gun in Germany, more or less like in the States, because there were no anti-gun laws. Same thing in Italy. It was the fascists who said we must regulate who can use guns and who cannot. And it's funny as it seems, it is a heritage of the totalitarian systems in Europe. So if you are pro-gun, it's anti-state. So this is more or less the attitude.
Okay, now that's it right there. It's a pro and anti-state thing. So this is, are you guys getting ready? You're gonna get your citizen scores? I mean, is that coming?
Oh, that's, yes, this could be coming too. Yeah, there are lots of people in Europe saying, oh, look at the Chinese system, it's a very good system.
No!
With the citizen score. We should introduce it too. It's getting more and more totalitarian. The funny thing is, we are living in a dystopian future.
I know,
it's
like a B sci-fi movie. It's a dystopian. Yeah. Well, it'll never get that bad. I'm going, oh man, hell, it won't. It's always the minority that resists. It's not everybody. It's just, you know, it's significant. It's 3, 5, 15%. Once you hit about 15, 16%, they freak because they can't get enough people to just toe the line. But man, it isn't for lack of effort. And you're just thinking wrong. So they get in, they got to use force. They do what. But California is such a good example. You know, Washington State, Oregon, you know, especially California, it's just they're spiraling down one of the biggest economies in the world. And they're taking and putting a revolver to their own head. And I'm going, what is going on here? You know, well, if we just do socialism really hard, it'll work. I mean, you know, is socialism, it's destined to fail, or they're just doing it wrong?
It's, well, my opinion is that it's destined to fail. And at plus, I don't believe in middle of the road policies. Middle of the road means that you are on the road to serfdom, as Hayek wrote. So it's, and what we are living demonstrates it. So we started as, after World War II, with systems which were more or less free with some government intervention, and the government is bound to expand everywhere, every time. So you can't have a government which says, no, I'm self-restricting myself. It's impossible. And so we are on the road to socialism and to serfdom, no question about that.
Well, serfdom is good. That was only 20%, I think. You know, I was like, woohoo, can I be a serf? You know, God, it's so much worse. Oh, all right. Well, let's go ahead and, you know, before we wind this up, give out, is there any contact information or web pages you want and any other issues you want to make sure gets out before we end it?
Yes, I sent you my website. It's a long Italian, so it's not so. I sent it to you.
Studio Legale Fusillo.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, you go studio. Spell out studio. legal with an E, Fusillo, yes. Fusillo, FUSILLO.com. And it's in the show archives for today's show. So if you want to go find out Alessandro Fusillo, do that. And are you coming to Phoenix for the summit?
No, for the summit, I can't. I hope to come to Phoenix sooner or later this year because I miss you guys. I want to see you. And what you're starting with your vaccine tour in May, you told me.
Well, as we're going around the country, you might want to stop by somewhere and say, yo, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you and Demetria, you'll get to see, I don't know, some other place, you know, that. And that's one thing. Don and I are looking forward to doing this. We're going to, you know, hook up with a lot of the, you know, activists that we've known around the country, some new ones coming up. And I think things are going to get funky. And I really feeling better being kind of mobile on the road, take advantage of stuff, be away from things. Kind of be, the only thing that we're coming back to Arizona a lot for, and this will be our home base, is for grandchildren. And after and after the year, then we're going to plop down and kind of, you know, decide, you know, where we're going to ride it out for the hopefully the rest of our lives. And it's very, I feel it. I've been through doing this 30 years, Alessandro, and I'm telling you, I go, yep, this one's going to, you know, like with the Levolution or through the 90s and different things that were happening, you know, militia attacks, you know, they're coming after anybody, Second Amendment, and then there's some, you know, tax stuff and this and that and so on, and of course the Levolution. But now, and decentralization of everything through our PiratesWithoutBorders.com thing, but this one, this is certain. This is, you pissed off the wrong people in the name of the children. I'm going, there is no way you're going to get away with this without somebody having to stay after school. I'm going to enjoy this one, which puts you in the limelight, and they're going to, yeah, we don't like him over there. That's Ernie and Donna being Ernie and Donna. We don't want that. I'm like, yeah, well, no fear, no fear, no fear. So it's we're going to have some fun. We already did it. I haven't made a big giant deal until today. We just shipped, you know, probably 10,000 of these videos. We put them out here. They're going all over the country, and it's like, hello, here we go. Yeah, but we got a lab coat, and we got, like, you know, politicians, and we say, and we're on all the television, and we say this about that, and you're wrong. I go, yeah, whatever. You just keep saying it. I don't care. Because they're so bad, man. It's so easy. You know, I don't even think it's fair. I don't even feel like it's fair. I go, they're coming up against Ernie and Donna. I feel sorry for them, almost. I'm telling you, I'm going to have fun with this because we're, you know, I got 12 grandkids, and I'm telling you, these guys are evil sons of bitches. Okay, I'll leave you on this. This has been my revelation. There's something, we just started studying a lot more about sociopathy and sociopaths and the mental condition of being, you know, and the people that gravitate towards and how they are and the way they think and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden it's dawned on me of all these politicians and lobbyists and people that I've met over the years, and there was just something wrong with them. They were just off. They didn't quite get it. They don't have any empathy. They're a sociopath. They gravitate towards a shiny badge. They just mandate whatever they're going, I passed a law, and you respect my authority kind of thing. They have no empathy. You know, they're just messed up in the head. So once you realize that, you go, why am I wasting time with these guys? I don't care about them. It's everybody else. Once you start focusing on that, then you realize these guys too shall pass.
Yeah, they are sociopaths by all means. They have no human feelings. A few days ago, I saw an interesting documentary about the German soldiers in World War II, and I discovered, because I didn't know right by now, that they were on drugs. They were on very heavy amphetamines, which made them without empathy. And this was what granted them to endure all the horrible things they did.
Have you been watching the show on Netflix, that Color War II thing?
Yeah.
I just saw that yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Same thing, me and you watching it. Yeah.
We're on the same tune.
Yeah, it was called, it had a name, Pilva something, whatever it was, and they gave them the Blitzkrieg, part of the, you know, the attack planes and the fast artillery and the military, the infantry and everything. They all, right when they go into battle, they mess them up and they just go whip ass.
Yeah. And I have a personal story about that. You know, I'm half German, and the brother of my grandma was one of the crazy German Panzer guys, and he died in Stalingrad, in fact, in 1943. And what he always wrote and told to my grandma is, I don't want to come back from this war, because what we did and what I saw, I can't possibly survive. We are not humans, what we are doing here. He told this to his sister and my grandma. And this is, it's crazy. Yeah, he was a good guy before he went into this terrible war. And this is what they do. They transform ordinary people in machines, in killing machines and in slaves, and this is what we have to fight against.
Yeah, and if it takes a drug, we'll give you a drug.
Yeah.
Or a vaccine. Or a GMO. Or a chemtrail. Or a fluoride. Or something. You know? Thanks to the Germans for all this stuff. It comes from that mindset. Yeah. You know, that was what's interesting. We had the disc that we put out. It says, Second Amendment is for everyone. Safe. Are you a safe gun owner, an unsafe legislator, you know, that kind of thing? So safegunowners.com, you can find our site. But what we put in there, it says, Second Amendment is for everyone.com presents Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership videos. And at JPFO, it was done by Aaron Zellman, which, you know, a Jewish guy that, and where his claim to fame came from, is that he published a book that had the Nazi gun control of the 36 or whenever it was, when the Nazi Gun Control Act and the 1968 Gun Control Act after Robert Kennedy was killed, they had the 1968 Gun Control Act here. It's the exact same language. They took and they translated, he made a book, he translated the German into English and the English version of the law, and they're the same. You know, so because the congressman that introduced it was an attorney during Nuremberg. And when he was there, he saw this. And he goes, well, I know what we need. We'll just copy their gun control.
So this is a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Like the Nazis.
Yeah, we'll just be like the Nazis. So they did. So our gun control act that we have, the big gun control when that first came in the late 60s, was the Nazi gun control. So I'm going, wow. So you have Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. They did a series of movies. There's five on our disc. Didn't I give you a copy of that? I think I'm going to send you some. I'm going to send you a packet of the stuff that we did.
Yeah.
You're going to get a present from Ernie and Don.
I'll shock some European anti-gun.
I know. It's gonna hurt, too. It's just going to hurt.
This is one of the things I usually do when people say, oh, I'm against guns. And I say, oh, yeah, I understand, like Hitler. You have the same mindset as Hitler, against guns. And
okay, come here. All right, here's Donna. All right, Donna. Yeah, we got to send him the Healthy Generation next and the safe to him and Domizia. Do you got their address that you can do that?
No, you can just email it to me.
Okay, email it to Donna. So you, as soon as you get back, or you can do it now. You know, go ahead and email it now, because she's going to the post office right now to send these out. I'd like her to send it and got yours in the mail right now, not later. Boom.
I won't have time to do
okay.
That now.
Okay. All right. I'll just do it.
Okay.
I'll get it tomorrow.
All right, dude, just go ahead and email it to our her producer email.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
No, this is going to be fun. You're going to get it, and you just watch, you know, and you kind of, you get it. You'll have a viewing party with your friends. Alessandro, thanks for coming on, man.
You.
It's all good. It's Studio Legale.
Thanks for hosting me.
I'm sorry?
With the devil. StudioLegaleFusil.com. This is the...
Yeah, you're chopping up a little bit. It's hard for him to make it out. But we got it in the archive. Hey, thanks for coming. It's always great to talk to you, man. Whenever you're coming to America, we'll divert the bus to wherever you're at, man.
Oh, thanks, Ernie.
All right. Peace. Thanks for coming on.
Peace, brother. Bye.
Bye.